Kedavach Shavuot Tov. This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. It's fascinating that when Yitzchak and Avimelech part ways, Yitzchak is actually exiled from Avimelech's Gerar, the Torah tells us that the cause for this was Yitzchak becoming wealthy and the people becoming jealous of him. Says the Pasuk, Vayigdal ha'ish vayelech haloch v'gadel. The man became wealthy, he grew in material wealth. Ad ki gadal me'od, and as a consequence, the people became jealous. So says the Pasuk. Now, what is fascinating here is that the Medrash comments, and the Medrash says, Zevil pirdosav shel Yitzchak, v'lo kaspo zahava shel Avimelech. Better the cow dung, or the mule dung, of Yitzchak to the gold and silver of Avimelech. What exactly does the Medrash mean over here? Why is the, what does it even mean to say that the dung of Yitzchak is better than the gold and silver of Avimelech? So I think to understand this, we have to look at another pasuk here. It is true that Yitzchak is exiled by Avimelech, but ultimately Avimelech realizes the error of his ways, and he attempts to make a treaty with Yitzchak. And when he does so, and they're about to part ways, the pasuk says that Avimelech says to Yitzchak, V'neshaleichacha b'shalom, basically, you go in peace. We're going to make this treaty, we're going to be fine, we're going to be good, everything is going to be gavaldik. V'neshaleichacha b'shalom, and indeed they make the treaty, and then they go off in peace. Pasuk says, V'yelchu me'ito b'shalom. So Avimelech and his entourage leave in peace. And when Avimelech tells Yitzchak about making a bris, he says, you should go in peace. Now, this seems to be just a nondescript, not a very important language, the dialogue between Yitzchak and Avimelech, but in fact, this is critical. It's absolutely critical to understanding the difference between what Avimelech represents and what Yitzchak Avinu represents. The Gemara tells us that when a person leaves a deceased corpse, a body, a burial, say lech b'shalom. And when one takes leave of a living person, of a human being, you say lech l'shalom. What's the difference between lech b'shalom and lech l'shalom? Well, you see, David says lech b'shalom to Avshalom. That doesn't work out too well. You take a look in Tanakh. Lech b'shalom is almost like a simon that bad things are going to happen. But lech l'shalom, like Moshe and Yisro, I mean, these are good things to come. So what is the difference between lech b'shalom and lech l'shalom? So many have said, I'm not the first, that the distinction between Bishalom and L'shalom is, Bishalom and L'shalom is not just about going in peace or with peace. Shalom represents a notion of shlemus, of perfection, of wholeness, of completion. And when a person is deceased, they are sort of whole and complete in their life. There's nothing more that they can do. Not in this world, not in the next world. There is no mitzvah that they can accomplish to raise themselves spiritually. There is nothing materially that they can do to enhance themselves. They are whole, they are finished, they are complete, it is done. Whatever their life is, it is finished, and it is complete. So to a deceased, you say lech b'shalom, but to a living person, you say lech l'shalom, because l'shalom means you are going towards the goal of shleimus, towards the goal of completion, and you never actually achieve that, because a human being consistently evolves and grows and develops, or should be evolving, growing, and developing, and trying to achieve greater spiritual height and depth and profundity and meaning and purpose. That is a goal which can never come to an end. As long as there is blood pumping through the veins of a human being, they have to be constantly going towards that goal of shleimus. And this is precisely, therefore, the difference between Yitzchak and Avimelech. Avimelech says, Lech b'shalom, and he's going b'shalom, because an Avimelech perception of life is I've done what I've done, I've completed my journey, and that's it. I'm fine, I'm good, I'm whole, I'm complete, nothing left to be done. And the typology of Yitzchak Avinu is exactly the opposite. There is never an end. As long as a person is alive, what it means to be an Eved Hashem is continuously growing and evolving. And this then thus explains the Medrash. What does the Medrash say? That the cow dung of Yitzchak is better than the gold and the silver of Avimelech. How so? Why so? What does that mean? Because what is dung? It is fertilizer. Cow dung, mule dung, this is used to fertilize and grow crops. What the Medrash is saying is that better the dung, as messy and as unappetizing as that might be to conjure the thought of dung, D-U-N-G, dung, it is better than all of the gold and silver of Avimelech. Because the dung of Yitzchak means it represents the idea of growth and life. This is what life is. Life is about the potential for growth and continuation of that process. Avimelech, however, all the gold and the silver, it's meaningless, it's purposeless, because it comes from the perspective that it's all done and finished and complete. And this is certainly not the goal of a human being, and it's certainly not the goal of an Eved Hashem. Now, this notion, this distinction, if you will, between a worldview of Avimelech and a worldview of Yitzchak can also be seen in the two other of our Avos. When it comes to Avram Avinu, we know that if Avimelech is the nemesis, if you will, of Yitzchak, the nemesis of Avram Avinu is Nimrod, right? The Midrash tells us the whole story about Avram Avinu and Nimrod and the idols. What was Nimrod's issue with Avram Avinu? Nimrod considered himself an Avodah Zarah, some type of deity, an idol. But the notion of Avodah Zarah is stagnation. This is what Avodah Zarah is. One worships a finite being or a finite object. An idol cannot move on its own, an idol cannot be on its own, an idol cannot do anything on its own. This was part of the process of how Avram Avinu came to the realization that these inanimate objects could not be a deity. The notion of Avodah Zarah is stagnation, stillness, and that finiteness. So, as opposed to a human being, which is about living and growing and developing until 120 years. So if Yitzchak Avinu's nemesis, as it were, was Avimelech, Avram Avinu's nemesis, as it were, was Nimrod. Each of these relationships represents the point, counterpoint, between an idea of always pushing towards growth, development, change, towards ultimate shlemos, versus wholeness, completion in a finite world, which is actually stagnation. And you see this in our third Av as well, Yaakov and Esav. Pasuk says that Yaakov holds on to the cave of Esav, right? This is, they come out of the womb, they're born into this world, and the Torah bothers to tell us about this birth, exactly how it happened. Yaakov's hand is holding on to the ankle of Esav. So what's pshat? What does it mean that his hand is holding on to the ankle of Esav? So Zalman Sirotkin is in Oznayim LaTorah, points out that the metaphor here of holding on to the cave of Esav means that Yaakov held on to that which Esav thought was not important at all, right? The cave, the heel, that which you step on, right? I remember Akev, right? The things that people step upon. And what Esav thought was irrelevant, what Esav thought was unimportant, what Esav thought was something which was not worth it, Yaakov was holding on to that. The Yado Chezes Ba'kev Esav. So what was Yaakov holding on to? What was this notion that Esav thought was irrelevant and unimportant, and yet Yaakov thought was tremendously important? So here again, we get to an amazing idea. So we have to take a look at the sale of the Bechora, where Yaakov says, Michra Chayom is Bechora Schali. Yaakov says, on that fateful day, sell me the Bechora. And Esav famously responds, I'm going to die. What do I need it for anyway? So what is this response of Esav? Rashi famously tells us that Esav thought to himself, Mativa Shalavodazu, what do I need this for? What do I need the Bechorah? A Bechorah is ultimately just a clergy in the Beis HaMikdash. And a person who has the responsibility of the Avoda comes with great risks to life and limb. Because a person, says Rashi, Bishop Misa Shuya Yayin Ufrue Rosh, Amar Anochi Ani Holech Lamus Al Yadayim Ken Machefetz Libazeh. To be a clergy in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, there are many Azharos, there are many Onshin, there's a lot of Misas that a person, Chi of Misas, a person can trip over. What do I need it all? What do I need it for? So says Rashi. Ibn Ezra says something which is a little different, but I think exactly the same. Says the Ibn Ezra, every day Esav went out to the field and he realized he was putting his life in danger every single day. Shama yahargu achayos, maybe he'll die. He was a hunter. Maybe he's going to die when he went out to work. And therefore, he thought, maybe Amos called him, he's going to predecease his father. What does he need the Bechorah for? So this is a very different approach, but as I will show you in one moment, I think it's the exact same idea, just expressed slightly differently. The Chizkuni gives yet a third approach, but I think it's the same idea. What does the Chizkuni say? Chizkuni says that the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael is dependent upon the Bechorah. And the Yerusha is not of Eretz Yisrael is not going to come for another 400 years. So, says the Chizkuni, Esav reasons to himself, Marevach yesh liba. What do I need this Bechorah for? I'm not going to profit from it. I'm not going to be around in 400 years. Im ha'yisi chai ad ososman, were I to live 4 centuries, okay. So maybe it would be worth it to me. I can be yorish the land of the Bechorah, beautiful. But what do I need it for? I'm not going to benefit from it at all. Very different idea, but as I will show you in a moment, I think it's the exact same concept. And finally, Rabbeinu Bachya says, you know what's going on over here? He says, Lamazet li Bechorah, what do I need this Bechorah for? Listen to what the Rabbeinu Bachya says. Ma ha-toeles ha-magiyali, what do I need this Bechorah for? I'm putting my life at risk every single day. Okay, that we saw already. What's the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Bachya? Listen to this next line. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, a couple psukim later, the pasuk says, Vayochal vayesht vayakam vayelach. And this is the key. After he sells it and after he closes the deal, so he eats and he drinks, he gets up and he leaves to teach us that afterwards, after he closed the deal, he ate and he drank and he went right back to work, right back out to the fields to go hunting. And this, he says Rabbeinu Bachya, was his whole life. Lechol, v'lishtos, v'latzud, ulehi mashech achar ha-taivas. To eat and to drink and to hunt and just to go after his taivas. And this is the reason, zelo sibas bizui ha-bechorah. This is the reason he was mevaze. He disdained the Bechorah because he was just running after his taivas. So we have 4 different approaches. Rashi about service in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ibn Ezra that he was running out to the fields every day and putting himself in harm's way. And the Chizkuni telling us that it wasn't worth it, he's not going to get anything for 400 years. And Rabbeinu Bachya says that he's running after his taivas. Each one of these is a different parish, but there's a tzad hashava. There is a common denominator amongst all of these. And you know what the common denominator is? It's the difference between playing the long haul, the long game, seeing the big picture and going after the long term versus the short-term fix. Esav says to himself, I'm going to make a calculation. It's not that Esav didn't understand the value of the Bechorah. He knew exactly what the Bechorah was. He just didn't want to wait around for it. In the sense, as Rashi points out, I'm going to stick around. I'm going to wait to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. That comes with all these risks. I would rather the immediate pleasure right now. The Ibn Ezra, different parish, same idea. He said, I'm putting myself in harm's way. So he thinks to himself, why am I thinking about tomorrow, the next day, a week, a month later? I want right now immediate results, immediate pleasure. And similarly, the Chizkuni. The Chizkuni says, I should wait around for 400 years. I'm not even going to be around for 400 years. It does me no good. I want the immediate payoff now. And Rabbeinu Bachya is the same thing. He says he's running. What is he doing? His whole life is running after taivas. Vayochal, vayesht, vayokam, vayelach. He ate, he drank, he got up, and he went right back to work to the field. Lihi moshech achar taivas. Each one of these perushim is a different perush, but telling us the same exact thing, which is that to be an Eved Hashem, Yaakov and Esav indeed are counterpoints for one another. Esav is his nemesis, not just because Esav is a Rasha and Yaakov is a Tzaddik, but it is the underlying principle that guides each of their lives. Esav's life is, tell me what you're doing for me right now. I don't need tomorrow. I don't need the next day. I am not in it for the law. That means nothing to me. And Yaakov says, no, you know what it means to be an Eved Hashem? To be an Eved Hashem means plodding day after day after day, month after month, year after year, going for the long haul. That's what it means to be an Eved Hashem. Esav was Asui. Esav was born. He was entirely formed. And for Esav, that's it. He didn't have to do anything more. He's whole. He's complete. So all I want is give me now. And Yaakov says, no. Yaakov understands it's about plodding forward and looking to the long term and trying to grow and develop and reach that ultimate goal, even if it means sacrificing some pleasure now or having some pain now for some greater spiritual, meaningful, personal, profound pleasure later. Esav says, just lahefech, I don't need the personal, profound pleasure later. I want it right now. Give me the pain later. I don't care. I'll take the pleasure now. So Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, each one has a nemesis. And basically, the two sides of the coin, Avraham and Nimrod, Yitzchak and Avimelech, Yaakov and Esav, in each of these relationships, the Torah is playing out these two worldviews, a worldview which sees the long term, which sees the idea of growth and development and evolution of a human being, of a spiritual self, which goes over the long term, versus somebody who says, no, I am what I am. I'm whole, I'm complete, I'm good, I am. This is what I am. Give me now, because that's all that there is. If there's one thing that we get from the Avos, it is most certainly the notion that a Jew every day must certainly look at where they are in the present, but always keep their eye on the long term, on the long haul. Because ultimately, that is what will allow a Jew to create for themselves a spiritually profound existence, one in which we'll get all the schar of Olam Haba while having a profound and purposeful and meaningful Olam Hazeh. Hagadvach to all.